There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, Jack, this is the President Sleepy Joe Biden, and you're listening to my favorite podcast in the world. Hey, fam.
Angus, stop telling me about that curry you just fucked.
With my mouth.
Because it's time to do a Hey, Fam episode.
The hot content would now be, I have to eat curry.
Mm-hmm. With
much
your mouth.
Like Kirby, doesn't he eat curry?
Yeah. And then he
spits out fire.
Oh, no, that's like a Smash Brothers thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, much like a Smash Brother, I've eaten curry and now I'm going to spit fire out of my mouth.
Yeah.
For approximately 2 hours. Maybe even less tonight. We're a little tired.
I'm exhausted. I played the worst gig ever last night. My gigs yesterday was a corporate event that started at 9 a.m.
What was it?
It was like a for a
company. Protect kids?
No, unfortunately, not a religious. Not a group.
Not the latest.
Not a group of men who claim to be religious and don't have children, but claim to be against LGBTQI.
But they can also tell you where to buy Logan children. Paul's energy drink for the best price in La Kemba.
Dude, I've never seen one of those in the wild.
Neither have I. I mean, also, I'm not looking for them.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? It's like if you're not looking for white cars.
But so it's not even an energy drink.
No, it's a Gatorade.
Yeah,
essentially,
it's like a flavored coconut water, isn't it?
Yeah, and they just claim to fit in more stuff. I saw a video of them trying to explain it, like the guys, the internet men, that
the gods,
it, the fellas,
So it's a British guy and one of them, and Logan Paul.
Yeah, Logan Paul and
Ricky Gervais.
Logan Paul in
Clive Owen.
Yeah, Trench Charles. and they're like comparing it to Gatorade, and they're like, Gatorade has 10 electrolytes. This one has 30 or something like that. And you're like, and they're like, there's actually more water in
and
Gatorade.
People are paying like upwards of $20 up for a bottle.
Well, people paying even more because it's selling out. That's and so people dumb. Are just like buying this energy. I mean, I hate those dudes, but it's literally like a fable we've been taught ever since like I was a kid. You know what I mean? They're just like selling literal like flavored water to people.
Yeah.
And charging a premium. It's insane. It's truly insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had
a corporate gig.
Corporate gig where I just played background music to maybe 300 people in suits mingling while they drank juice.
Where at? Oh, you can't say, obviously.
I was in like Coogee.
No, I mean, like, was it a business?
No, it was like a big business. They provide many services for businesses.
McDonald's.
So it was like all these different clients.
McDonald's.
Yeah, it was McDonald's.
They provide Wi-Fi.
Sausage and egg McMuffins.
Yeah, lunch, breakfast, dinner.
Napkins.
Oh, man, I got a lot of, I watched a lot of McDonald's training videos this week.
Yeah, you spent an entire night last week just watching.
Well, my entire Instagram
it was
feed.
Fast food. Well, yeah. Well, my entire
feed, yourself and your wife included, were all at Patty Harrison. The
best fucking gig. Holy shit, she was so good.
Well, you say that, but you went at my house, where I watched maybe 10 to 12 corporate training videos from the late 80s, early 90s, both U.S. and Australian. So, a lot of Pizza Hut, a lot of McDonald's, a lot of Australian
a little
McDonald's.
Sizzler.
I learned a lot about the ambience you have to create when you're opening McDonald's at 6 a.m.
Oh,
the
wow.
flowers at a place around the store. They don't do this stuff anymore. the newspapers you're offering people, the endless coffee. It was really cool.
Sounds like a good night.
It was really fun. It was quite soothing.
You would have loved Fatty Harrison.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I forgot it was on.
Yep.
And then I was like, I don't know. I just didn't go.
It was one of the...
I don't have to explain myself.
I feel like when we went and saw Tim Heidecker do that kind of like, I guess you would call it like anti-comedy, where he's playing a character. So his character is someone telling like...
He's being your LA hack comedian. Material. Yeah, your like hacky LA open mic guy.
Patty
and
Harrison,
it's like kind of destroyed comedy for me when I saw it 10 years ago. Because you're just kind of like... Oh, it's a like, you know, deconstruction of everyone's job that's doing this. And it's just way funnier because like, it is like, it can't like, you know, the, like most things in life, there are fewer good comedians than there are good comedians, like bad comedians. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like films, music. I think there's a lot of bad stuff compared to the good stuff.
So Patty Harrison came out. I don't know if everyone is aware of who she is. She has some of the best lines in the second season of I Think You Should Leave.
And the first,
but especially the second. I feel like she has like so many of my favorite moments. The Peanuts Parade girl.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown.
And the driving school
one. And the driving school one with Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger.
Goddamn, bangers. Anyway, she comes out and she starts talking about like that she's trying to create a safe space and that, you know, after some shows in the UK, you know, she just really wants to make sure that, you know, people know what they're about to see and that everyone has different life experiences and she doesn't want to trigger anybody. And everyone's taking this like dead seriously. And I'm like, fuck, I'm...
You're like, is this serious or is it a joke?
At some point, she's going to... And she just kept it straight for so long.
Really?
And then she'd be like, anyway, I made a slideshow. And then straight away the slideshow is like, this, like, you're like... You're like, oh, it's like, you know... People smiling and holding hands on the
corporate
ground.
Shit.
Corporate shit.
Like the gig you play.
And it was like, oh, maybe this is funny. And then she starts, well, as she's doing the trigger warning for everything that's going to be, the content warning for what's going to be in her show, these like sound effects start playing. So like gunshots, cars screeching, animal noises, all kinds of things. And she's like, oh, and I want to thanks so much to my sponsor, Noise Barn, for sponsoring my set today. Of course, you know Noise Barn. They're the best place to get like sound effects on the internet. Anyway, this thing goes for 10 minutes the entire time. Just this increasing, stupid, loud, obnoxious sound effects. It is going over the top of her or underneath her, kind of saying all these things that are going to be in the show that people might want to look out for. It was fucking great. That stops. Then she starts talking about like, oh, you know, it's really okay for, I just want to, you know, I've been going to therapy a lot and I've been like, it's really okay to like love yourself and take time for yourself. And people forgot that like, oh, she's going to pull the rug out from under you again. And they were like, yeah, yeah. And then suddenly she turned, it was about half the crowd had no idea.
They're probably too confused. They're like, if I laugh, am I not an ally anymore?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, there's the show. You don't have to.
No, that was just the first 10
minutes. No, I mean, that's our show now. You just talk about the set you saw.
Yeah. No, I feel like it's rare that we talk about stand-up comedy because
they don't like it.
I largely hate it.
They don't like it. People get really out. Comedians. My friend actually wrote a story once on Hannibal Buress and he's like, don't talk about my set. Like, I make money for this. Like, don't ruin my jokes.
Shit. Well, I'm sorry.
So now you're not an ally. You're ruining.
The cabal will
come. The funny cabal will come after you. No, my friend was a journo and they were like, oh, Hannibal did this. And he's like, literally contacted them the next day, like, sort out their email. This is like a Sydney post. And he's like, hey, don't ever do that. That's really not cool. Like, this is like my show. Like, but on the other hand,
but the rest of it was also really good.
Yeah. Speaking of funny sound effects, I was asked to chair a meeting this week. At work, my place of employment, and as you know, I've been having a little fun with AI, so I could have done it really easily and just.
It's like one of the best sentences I've heard in a while.
it's my origin story. Yeah.
Been having a little fun with AI.
Well,
and that's how we created.
Having a little fun with and so rather than me chair the meeting,
I've been having a little fun with AI. Levins, you're not needed on the show anymore.
No, we're not even. This thing's not even on. It's already out there. The episode. Yeah. So I try to make it. I made it look seamless, but I was helped out by a few friends of mine, namely Mark Wahlberg, Tom Cruise, and Sleepy Joe.
The gang.
And I did no talking, despite being the MC that linked everything. I felt like Fred again. Funny stuff. I was just laptop hooked in, kept throwing to me. I was just hitting that, pretending. I was just like,
that's great.
Yeah, I had Donald Trump doing the welcome to country, and then I just pulled out at the minute. I was like, I better not.
Don't spoil your own material, man.
Well, it's not out there.
You have to email yourself.
I'm not. It's not out there. I pulled it. I read the room.
That is good stuff, though.
Yeah, but that, don't worry, I sent it to a group chat. I was like, hey, have you ever wondered how that would sound? Stop wondering.
And it might sound a little bit like this.
I feel like a Tonight Show host. I was making a lot of topical jokes about, sorry, I can't be there right now. I think I'm being arrested today. Donald Trump wished everyone, oh, that's right, at the end of these meetings, we read out a collective at the end of the month, everyone's birthday it's been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone got it. I couldn't really gauge from the Zoom, but before Donald came out, the opening chords of Tiny Dancer were playing. I was like, because I had music behind everyone. Every time Mark spoke, I had good vibrations, but I'd play 20 seconds of it at full volume and fade down. They brought back that series, the J-Files, and then I had all these riffs like, I hope the first one is For the People, my seminal record.
Great.
with my rap outfit, the Funky Bunch. It was a lot of good bits. I was like, damn, I wish Levins was here.
I wish one person that would appreciate this.
It was for you. It was seriously for you. Yeah.
Sky me
I'll
next
upload
time.
It. Maybe when Levins is in Japan, that can be an episode.
Perfect.
That's the Patreon.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the station meeting. Maybe I have it on my phone.
Save it for PayFam tonight.
Yeah, well.
So I began my day in the eastern suburbs playing to a corporate crowd, came back here, picked the kids up, all that kind of stuff, cooked dinner. Then I had to go back to the eastern suburbs.
What was he cooking?
Cooked a taco bowl.
Oh, hell yeah.
A bit of brown rice, black beans,
not to
fried
be
egg.
Taco Bell.
No.
Which there is now several in Sydney.
Yeah, they're pretty shit.
One right near
eh?
My work, they're dog shit.
Like, legitimately looks like they're putting dog shit on those tacos.
Oh, 100%.
That
someone
weird
I work
goop?
With went
how do you
there,
make,
around
how do you
the
make mince that consistency?
It's not mince, it's chief.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of training videos while you're at the comedy show. Notice I'm not sharing corporate espionage secrets I'm following. Someone went there the other day who I work with, and they were like, it's weird. It's, I guess it's like a modernized Taco Bell, in that, you don't actually talk to anyone. You walk in, you type in on a screen what you order.
Yeah.
But they ask for your first name and surname. And you're like, what are they doing with this? Like that's first name I get, first of all, I get getting a number. I'm fine. I know people.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, we're not computers, we have names. But I'm like, for an anonymity,
yep.
I'm happy with a number.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's either 182, 007, or 69. You
yep.
know, the golden trio of great numbers.
Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity. But no, not just first name, but surname. Excessive.
Well, I would put first name Taco, last name Bell.
Yeah, that's really good.
See what happens.
And they call Taco Bell and you're like, that's Mr. Bell to you. Yeah, I haven't gone. I have absolutely zero interest.
It's like around the corner from your work.
Yeah.
I took the kids there
it's
once.
Next to a Mad Max. It's
yeah,
like,
that's funny.
What, like, it's like picking fucking...
yeah. I would pick
the two
Mad
worst
Max
dudes to hang
Bell,
with. My curiosity would be Taco Bell now because it's been like 20 years.
Yep.
But curiosity killed the El Gato.
And then they put it into the taco mints.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what El Gato means. I've seen the most recent Puss in Boots.
Oh, see, I haven't.
Yeah.
I don't, I will watch it.
It's good. It's a good movie.
I keep hearing.
But yeah, then last night I DJ'd at Bondi.
Another eastern suburb.
Another, yeah, it was just a lot of driving.
Some would say
miles
the most eastern suburb.
The east, most east?
Yeah. No, I'm not talking geographically. I mean,
oh,
like
culturally.
Yeah, yeah, like vibey.
Yeah, there was no vibes.
Yeah, which...
It was brutal.
The most eastern of suburbs.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I'm exhausted today, but... Yeah. I spent most of today watching John Wick 4.
I mean, that rules.
3 hours of my day. And
so
it was a good 3 hours.
Yeah.
I know I went into, I mentioned in the past, like, I just don't understand why that movie needs to. It's like 2 hours, 40 something minutes.
Yes. This is where you and I stand
well, no,
apart.
Look, I'm fine with a movie being 3 hours if it
when
spends
when it uses
that,
it well.
Exactly. Like, you know.
Like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Or Boogie Nights.
Yeah. Look at us. We're both talking about essentially movies set
about,
exclusively in California,
yeah, exactly.
Set in the 60s and 70s. That's all you got, guys. If you're setting outside of that, you need to clear it with this podcast.
But like, I guess I would compare John Wick to the Batman, for example. I thought the Batman did not need to be 3 hours long. I didn't like that final act.
Yeah.
I just wanted the movie to end while I still liked it.
Mm.
And it didn't.
Damn.
But the John Wick 1 and 2, I watched all three of them, I think, in the same week.
Very easy to do.
John Wick 4 was my first one I actually saw on the big screen.
I've never seen one at the cinema.
And Yeah, I love 1 and 2. 3, I just felt like it did that thing that a lot of big blockbusters do. And I wouldn't really count John Wick in that like ilk of blockbusters, even though it is one. But, you know, it's very stunt reliant as opposed to like CGI heavy stuff. But it did that thing that a lot of blockbusters do where all the acts feel very separate. Like it's just like each act or sequence like it's introduces,
a series of sequences,
introduces whole new characters, motives. Like, you know, the whole Halle Berry stuff in the desert. Like, it just like it does feel so disconnected from the rest of the movie.
Well, the opening move, like, is amazing. He's on the horse.
Yeah.
He's in the library killing someone with a book. And you're like, this is sick. And then the desert and stuff. I remember the desert lost me a bit.
It drags. The movie drags. And then it ends on a, like, oh, shit, kind of cliffhanger. So not a very satisfying movie.
I'm going to rewatch 3 this week. If I'm going to go see 4 on Monday.
Yeah. So I'm glad I kind of skimmed through 3. Yesterday before checking out 4 today.
Because it just said immediately after, right? Like, essentially?
No.
It's 3 said immediately after,
yeah,
2.
Yeah, this is like it follows on from what happens at the end of 3.
2, I love the second half. The first half, not a huge fan of.
Okay, yeah.
First half, he goes to Italy and like Ruby Rose is there doing sign language.
Oh, that's right. That's not great, is it?
And you're just like, what is this? But yeah, then it gets really cool when he goes to the King of the Bowery and asks to like, you know, he hangs out with Morpheus.
Of course, the
like,
best.
Fucking
yeah.
Gang's all here.
Yeah. He's in. He's
can
in
you his... can you spoil something for me about 4? Is Joey Pants in it?
Unfortunately, not.
You just need to get Joey Pants, and we're getting so much closer to that Nebuchadnezzar crew. You know,
there's some like there's no massive names. What's his name? Donnie Yen.
Yeah,
he's
Donnie Yen. He's
Donnie
great.
Yen. There's a silent U. That's fun.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it Y-U-E-N? Is that
his name? No, just W. It's just Y-E-N.
Is it? I guess I throw a U in his name.
You're just throwing in. I'm actually making it silent because it's just Donnie Yen.
That's great. Just overcomplicating people's names for my own benefit.
He's like one of the top 3 homies in Rogue One, I found.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. I love him in that.
Cheer it.
He's
so good.
What's the shit he says? The
Force
is with
me and I'm one with the Force.
He's fucking amazing in this.
So is he a villain?
He is
Or adversary.
He's like a friend, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, in this world, who is your
assassin.
Friend?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, remember the first one, like, Willem Dafoe is like friend or foe.
Yeah. And then there was this fucking... I don't recognize this guy. He was so good. He plays someone called Mr. Nobody in this one. And he's like a
Kurt
sniper.
Russell?
Yeah, I know. It reminded me of that. Or Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Who was literally in a movie called Nobody.
Oh, yeah. So I haven't seen that.
Good movie.
Yeah.
They're making a sequel, apparently. In fact, there were moments of this movie that reminded me of Nobody.
Sure. And it's the same producers, right?
Oh, right. Cool. Again, another very stunt-reliant revenge movie, essentially.
The fact that first John Wick movie was as big as it was is, like, incredible. Like, that was going to be... up until 2 weeks before it was released, it still didn't have a distributor, I was reading. It was going to go straight to DVD.
Yep.
It had a different name called Scorn, and Keanu could never remember it, so he just kept calling it John Wick in interviews.
That
and
rolls.
Basically, it became called John Wick because he couldn't remember the like generic title. And like as if these movies could be called anything else.
So this movie is like easily the biggest in scope of all of the John Wicks so far.
I've heard it compared to like Fury Road in terms of like you're sitting there and it's just kind of like masterclass
in
action.
It is so focused.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you get these big, crazy action scenes. When it first starts, I was like, oh, I remember it being tighter than this. Fuck me dead. It gets so tight.
I saw a tweet. Now tell me if this is true. A guy said there's one sequence. He wasn't bored, but he checked his watch at the start of it. When the sequence ended, 38 minutes had passed, and he's like, that's longer than the Strokes' debut album.
Yeah.
And he was like, and it was the best.
Entirely true. I know exactly what he's talking about. Sick. So it's like the big, like, you know, last struggle of John Wick.
I'm so excited, in this movie. I got goosebumps.
And, dude, I'm not spoilers for any plot points, but things that are included in this movie. There is a fight sequence, because a lot of it is set in Paris.
Cool.
And there is a fight sequence in the traffic Wick's surrounding Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah.
You know, that like circular, like the worst place to be in a car ever. I fucking hate it whenever I've been in there a couple of times.
Whenever you and I are in Paris, we hate getting stuck there. When we're trying to go to Taco Bell in Paris.
But no, like the couple of times I've been in Paris and like just even being in a cab doing that, it doesn't make any sense to me, like physics wise. I hate it. But to have this like heightened, already terrifying traffic scenario and you're setting an action scene there.
Sick.
It's the upper echelon of action scenes. Like, yeah, I put it up there with everything that I loved about RRR and Top Gun last year.
I'm so pumped, dude.
Yeah, it's so good. The performances are awesome. Absolute surprise MVP. A couple of them.
Yeah.
One of them, Clancy Brown.
Oh yeah, is he in the fat suit in it or something?
So Clancy Brown is like,
he's in the Mandalorian. He's great. Yeah. And he plays the like guy with horns in that Mandalorian episode.
Oh, classic. Well, in this one,
he's a voice actor.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
in Star Wars as well.
So much shit. Yeah, yeah. I think he was a voice in the Venture Brothers as well.
Oh wow, yeah, he's great. He's just like a big dude,
but he
looks like Hellboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and he just plays like a guy that's on like the high table.
Yeah.
And he's amazing in this. But my absolute MVP is this guy called Scott Adkins.
Oh yeah,
who's like a, I guess he's like a martial artist stunt performer, cum actor.
Yeah.
And I know that he did stunt work in...
I know Keanu gives him so much love and respect. In interviews, he called him recently like the greatest Kung... Someone was like, you've worked with Kung Fu Masters. Who's the guy that trained them in Matrix again? The guy who did Kill Bill?
Yeah.
So, like him. And he's like, oh, you're forgetting one, Scott Adkins. He mentioned like these Chinese names, like Hong Kong names. And then he's like, but also Scott Adkins. He like shouted him out recently.
I watched an interview with the director of John Wick.
Chad.
Big Chad.
Who plays... Trinity's husband, yes. Chad, yep. in Matrix Resurrections, who is also his stunt coordinator for the Matrix
films. And he has such respect for stunt performers. Like, he talks... So, the interview I watched... It's like 15 minutes long.
Underrepresented,
He mentions he talks about Keanu and the other actors for maybe a minute.
Yeah, the rest all about the stunt people.
He just talks about how much he loves the stunt people, especially Scott Adkins.
That's
so
sick.
He was talking the whole... Every John Wick movie, he's tried to put him in a talking part. And Scott's like, I need you to... Come on, next one. He couldn't make it in two, couldn't make it happen for three. And then Scott was like, if you make a four... And he's like, there's no way we're going to make a four.
Three then, just then made so
like,
much money.
And they were like, we're making a four. Okay, I'm going to put you in it, but it's going to be a lot more different to what you're expecting. Cause he's a really attractive dude, right? Like, you know, super built physically, handsome face, you know, great hair.
See the one in the fat suit?
He's in a fat suit. That
I seen the poster.
It makes Colin Farrell's Penguin look like absolute shit. And I'm like, this is what the Penguin should have been instead. There's a sequence in, I think my favorite sequence is in Berlin. Like just all kinds of
It's funny
crazy
that the John
happen.
Wick movies are now like the Bond movies where you just globe
trot. Dude, so much better than Bond movies.
Oh no, but I mean like, you know how like one of the Bond movies like tropes are like globe trotting.
But he just plays like this like Eastern European like crime lord with, he's a huge hulking.
The Whale.
Like, but like, no, he's in like, he's really, really strong.
Yeah.
But just in also like big, and he's got three front teeth are gold.
Let's see.
And he goes, oh, the Baba Yaga. Like when and he just chews the fuck out of the scenery. And it's the only extended scene where the three main leads are in it as well. And he outshines all of them.
Tired.
He is so fucking good. His fight with John Wick is like, that for me is like
pinnacle.
God. I mean, even though like the Arc de Triomphe is probably like the best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
I'm so pumped.
It's so good. Are you going to see it like tomorrow night or something?
No, I'm seeing Meet Me in the Bathroom tomorrow, the Indie Sleaze doco.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Saturday, I can't. I got a 50th.
You'll get there.
Sunday, I got a
50th. Yeah,
I'm going Monday.
I felt really guilty seeing it without you.
Like, no, that's fine.
I wish
we could talk about it.
I want to deep dive like crazy next week.
But yeah, next week we'll do a week because I've been rewatching them all.
Yeah, I'll probably see this again. I'll probably take B because B, like, oh, there's one moment in this that I know she will hate so fucking much. It's like, you know, it's like mostly goofy violence.
Yeah.
None of that like slow, painful violence for the most part. There is one self-inflicted, super slow, painful moment where I'm just like, fuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah, really great performances. Like for the most part, good writing.
Could be a Marvel movie too, because the first movie, his wife dies and that... It spurs him
Dude,
on.
John Wick is the ultimate wife guy, though.
Oh, he is. He's the biggest wife. He's a simp.
Yeah.
When I was watching the first one, like last week.
He pretty much watched the first one
again last week, and I'm like, his house is hilarious because he goes, like, I think it's destroyed now. I think it gets destroyed in two.
Two, yeah. See, I love that shit.
Yeah, that shit's tight. But in the first one, he's there.
I need to rewatch one and two to work out my ranking because I'm pretty sure I'd put four after one, and then, but maybe
Watch
I'll love two.
Lightning in a bottle, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, it was never, like,
but then the when the law works, it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
All the hotel shit.
The hotel
stuff's
great.
They went way too deep with it.
That dude in the desert I found weird as hell.
I know, but they revisit it in this and they make me like it more.
That's good. I like as you know, a franchise can like chip away at an idea if they don't nail it the first time. Star Wars does this always. Like, you think of the first, like...
Dude, and we're going to talk about Mandalorians, is episode four, and I'd really, like, I know this is going to be one where you're like, I love that episode, I fucking hate
you hated
that
it?
Episode. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, you know why I liked it.
Star Wars, yeah, to very ups and downs whenever they revisit ideas I didn't like. This one was like, this is not this revisit.
Well, let's just talk about it.
Mando.
I watched it very late last night because I had a movie screening that I hosted.
Look, obviously, I'm stoked that Ahmed Best gets a role in this.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, I'm a bit. I mean, it's not like Jar Jar's in it. It's
just, no, yeah. But yeah.
Or it is no, a canon character, though, isn't it? It's the game show guy.
Yeah, yeah. Keller and Beck.
But I thought that entire sequence, and I hate that it's my boy Carl Weathers behind the camera for this one.
Yeah.
Although, like, how much of it actually, it's still shot within the style of every other episode of
Yeah, but that's like TV shows. TV shows have a look. They're like, you shoot a show.
Yeah,
like
but you
this.
Can tell a Rian Johnson episode of Breaking Bad. You know?
That's Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, he's not Carl Weathers.
That's true.
He wishes. How dare you compare Rian Johnson?
But that whole flashback sequence of Grogu, I was like, oh, that this could be good. It felt like what you watched before going on Star Tours in a Disneyland.
Oh, really? See, it was like hitting for me. I don't know. Coruscant, yeah. I was just...
Of course it was hitting for you.
There's yeah, like, it was like rubbing that part of my brain.
That part of your dick.
Yeah. Yeah, my brain.
While you slept.
Yeah. See, man, like, fuck. It was giving I should you be that... sick of seeing Order 66 by now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, just keep showing it to me. Tamira Morrison.
Kill those Jedi.
As a voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I just, and finally too. Get, like, this is, like, the big nerdy part, but physical clone troopers, because in the prequel trilogy, they're all CG.
Ah,
just seeing them in suits, men in costumes, it's just like, oh, they're just normal men. I love it so much. I felt that was, like, you know, Star Wars doesn't do a lot of fourth wall breaking. I find it doesn't really reference the times. It's referencing, like, all times.
Yep.
But that was one of the most, like, overt fourth wall moments. But, you know, if you follow Ahmed Best's trajectory, you know, he basically was, like, suicidal for 15 years.
Oh, I'm all for the Ahmed Best.
Yeah, I just thought it was, like, so beautiful because for years people have been being like, who do you think saved him? Do you think it was Obi-Wan? Like, using all these, like, big name characters because, like, we never saw how Grogu was saved. Mm. And it was just so nice that it's, like, the man who saved is responsible for, like, you could put Grogu and Jar Jar on the same chart and they're at the opposite ends of popularity. Jar Jar is, like, the most hated character. People have called him, like, you know, the reason Star Wars was ruined. Grogu is, like, essentially given Star Wars a second wind.
Yep.
Like, his very existence has, like, he's so popular. Kids who don't, people don't even watch Star Wars know Baby Yoda.
Yep.
And to have, like, the guy who portrayed the most, you know, hated character, someone I've always batted for, as you know, if you step into my office. But I just thought that was like a very, I was very touched by that.
I saw that great image that someone doctored of the second most recent episode 3, where the two people in Coruscant are eating the weird lollipops, but they're the, I just realized I was talking to my water bottle.
No, that's fine.
I was echoey for a while. Hello.
We got effects.
They changed it so it was, they had those.
Oh, yeah, the Jar Jar pops that I have. Pops, and I have two of them, so we can recreate that.
With the lollipops still in it?
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, eBay, baby.
What are you going to taste like?
Yeah. I'm sure it tastes really good.
I love watching YouTubes of people being like, let's eat 25-year-old cereal.
We're drinking that famous Pepsi Crystal, remember the clear Pepsi?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy drinks and he starts like vomiting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like oh, it's like, oh God,
it's one of the old timers.
Oh, it's my favorite kind of
like,
shit.
Like, I still see that screenshot as a meme. Like, you know, just him with like it pouring out of every. He's like the bitch in The Incredibles, the daughter, you know, when she like spits milk everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that energy.
Of course, the bitch in The Incredibles.
Was it Miss B? No, man, obviously I was there for that. And I liked that it mirrored, there's something about that armor because you get Din's flashback when she's building him.
Movie.
She's like dinging whatever away and he has a flashback in season 1 when she's building his like chrome outfit.
Yep.
And he's like has a flashback to him being rescued.
Yeah.
As a kid. So I don't know.
Man, do you reckon they'll have the balls to put Grogu in a helmet?
Yeah. I think that's going to be like the closing shot of the season.
And then he has an entire season wearing a helmet.
Yeah, I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to have, like, ear holes. I think he's going to have this, like, Mando helmet.
Because my prediction is that Bo-Katan goes full Mando now.
Yeah, she's
going to usurp the gold bitch.
Yes, I think she's going to be... Well, she's got what she wanted. She wanted a family. She's been, like...
But I think she's going to be like, I saw this fucking creature. I'm
100%.
I'm more Mando than you
are.
Yeah,
I think she's going to be the Mandalore. Like, I think
I think she's going to shun...
her away, the armorer?
Din.
No, I think they like each other.
No, but I think he's going to break a Mando code. It's going to break her heart, but she's going to need to, like...
Yeah, either she's going to go, like, I'm going to follow this because I saw that Mythosaur and now I fucking, like, the unbeliever is the believer. Or, yeah, her and Din, I think, might be like, hey, kind of what I hoped happened in episode 9 where they're like, let's have a new Jedi. That was kind of my hope where it's like, you're kind of gray. Like, you can't be black or white. Where they're kind of like... a new era of Mandalorian where we're new Mandalores and we don't do this and we, I don't know. But Bo-Katan rules. I'm so glad she's like a big part of this season. Katie Sackhoff's tight.
I love her. Yeah. She's so good in this.
Such a good character and a really good like person for Din to bounce off. Like he doesn't, like he's always got Grogu, but you can't really talk to that person. Yeah. And it's nice to have someone who's a Mandalorian to chat to, but has like differing views.
Yeah. Overall, I thought the episode was like goofy as shit and I can very handle goofy, a bit of goofy stuff, but like, yeah, that I hate is a strong, I definitely didn't hate it. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah. I was very entertained.
But I thought it was real stupid.
Yeah. Star Wars is very stupid. Especially like my favorite part was when those like birds walked off at the end. Yeah. I love that. That's like Star Wars to me. Just like big goofy monsters. Yeah. And they're like, now we got these. Like,
yeah. This is the way.
Yeah. No, very into it. It reminded me a lot of just like goofy Indiana Jones shit. Like getting the bird's nest, like goofy as hell.
Yeah.
I bet I'm, you know, Star Wars can be goofy. It can be Andor as well. That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
We're halfway there. I'm like, what the fuck's going to happen?
I liked that last episode where it was like Andor light.
We needed that.
Yeah.
We needed to, as like audience, we need to know what was going on in the greater universe.
Yeah.
That shit's going to be coming back. Like we have not seen the end of those people.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah.
I'm very curious as to what happens next. It's funny because like, he's done all of his goals, as far as we're aware.
Yeah, that's why I reckon there's going to be like a split between him and Bo-Katan.
Yeah. She's going to be riding that mythosaur, not him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she deserves it.
And she's going to get the saber back, I reckon, too.
100%.
He can't use it.
She has to
he can't use that.
Oh, he's dog shit at it.
Yeah.
It's great, because even though he is apparently the titular Mandalorian, he's really not that good at it. it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, enjoying that season so far.
Very fun. Yeah. I'm liking it more than what I liked season two, I find.
Hey, who's at the door? Oh, Donald Trump.
Oh, hey, Don, come on in here. Glad to see you weren't arrested because we needed someone to throw to these ads.
And now a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks, Donnie.
Mando, you know what? I've been watching a lot lately. I watched Swarm, the entirety of that new series, the Donald Glover.
Yeah, so I haven't really looked into this. I just know it was like, it's on Prime, right? And
so he signed a deal, remember, like before
that wacky
season 3 of Atlanta came out.
Oh, right. So this is like, I thought it was like when you meant like when he did that weird like mini movie.
No, before
with
season
Rihanna.
3 signed like a,
do you remember that weird,
oh yeah,
tropical,
what's it called?
Island,
like
something island,
Guava Beach or something, Guava Island. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, we're on something.
Sounds like a Mario Kart course.
Yeah.
He's now solely with Amazon now. Like they basically like, you can develop whatever you want here. So the first thing is Swarm, and he did it with another woman whose name is Casey, but she came on as a writer for 3 and 4 of Atlanta. She's written plays and dumb shit like that, but she's they're like, you know, not TV. TV, you have to like go to a building and watch people do it. No, she's cool. But I think it's like Janet Nabeen.
But
is her name.
Is it like horror?
I mean, kind of, but it's like saying like some episodes of Atlanta were horror. Like,
well, okay, sure. Yeah. It's
it feels
like dark.
No, it feels like the standalone episodes from season 3. It's
oh,
like,
okay, cool.
Imagine if one of them, that a network was like, we're going to give you that, we're treating that as a backdoor pilot.
Oh, so it's not like a montage of different stories. It's one ongoing.
Yeah, it's one ongoing story. Okay. So it's very funny because, as you know, he has a like relationship with Beyonce. They're both in The Lion King. Yeah. Speaking of The Mandalorian, they both worked with The Volume years before Baby Yoda even, you know, was a puppet mm-hmm. hopping around. So it's about this fictional singer, multi-platform artist called Nyjah, complete with a apostrophe in her name, mm-hmm. who has a rap mogul husband who releases, it's set in 2016, who surprise releases a visual album called Festival with this like amazing
crazy.
It's about this mega fan who, she's part of the Hive, the Swarm.
Jeez, right.
So it's not subtle. She has an elevator incident. She gets bitten. So everything that's happened, it's basically Beyonce. And it's this woman who, there's a bit of Barry to it. She basically is like looking at comments. Something happens, but it like sets her off. I won't say what in case you watch it. But she starts like looking at tweet replies. She runs like a fan account. And people are just like, you know, MAGA white feminists. Like, fuck this fake feminism from Nyjah. She will like track them down and kill them.
Yeah, right.
And it's set over like 2 years. It's set between 2016, 2018. And she's like mega fan. She's like,
whoa.
And they made it because they were like, we never see black women in like the anti-hero taxi driver Joker role. It's always, they're always doctors or lawyers, black women in media.
Yeah, for sure.
He saw a tweet he said that was like a woman being like, how come like white guys get to be all these like twisted characters you kind of root for, like Patrick Bateman, but also you
hate
them?
How come white guys get to be Angus's favorite character?
Yeah, why do they, why do white guys get to be the only people who Sigma male grinds there, who commit to the Sigma male grinds there? So they made it for this, like,
how come teenage boys in India never make memes about black women?
How come there's no Indian black woman lawyer character, no Indian Amanda Waller on TikTok? But that was, yeah, someone was like, why is it always like, why do they get all the fun? So it's like basically like she plays a role that's like reserved for twisted white dudes. That's who's sick. Like his mega fan, and you're kind of like, yeah, but then you're also like, oh, don't do that to that person. But it has like some crazy cameos, like Billie Eilish is in it. She doesn't play Billie Eilish. It's like her first acting role. She's really good.
Right.
Cool. In this episode where she's like, they're in what festival's in Austin City Limits, maybe?
Or South by Southwest?
No, I think it's like Austin. It's somewhere. But she goes, basically she's like
Bonnaroo?
Yeah. She's the Nyjah's performing at Bonnaroo. And she stays with this like convert and they're like all women. Look very white, Billie Eilish, and she's like, you know, she runs her own. It's like she has a cult and stuff. Paris Jackson's in it, Michael Jackson's daughter, even though, and she's like white skinned, but she says in it she's a stripper and her name's Halsey because Halsey has a black granddad. She's like, I'm black, and it becomes like a joke. But no, it feels very. Stephen Glover writes a lot of it, directs it. Donald Glover does. It feels like a very natural extension of season three of Atlanta. Obviously more gory. But it's about the music industry and it feels like Jordan Peele, Donald Glover. I think it's like not as, I think people are being like.
Hiro Murai directed any of it?
No. But yeah, it's cool. I watched it for work, but it was like very easy to watch.
Yeah, I'll
I was
get really into it. Sure.
Yeah, it's shot on film as well. Mm. And it's one of those ones where you know.
How many millimeters?
I think this is, I'm going to have to pull out the protractor.
Check out the circumference.
It looks gorgeous. It looks better than Atlanta, I think.
Cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's like real grubby.
Yeah, I'll never get to
kind of like grindhousey in parts with the film aspect. It looks sick.
Sigma grindhousey.
Yeah. I saw Pearl the other day. I watched X.
On the big screen, right?
Went to the big screen. The cinema.
That's cool as shit. Which do you prefer, Pearl or X?
I liked Pearl.
And that's the prequel?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were disappointed by X, but they love... What's her name? The girl who plays
Mia Goth. Great name.
Yeah.
One of the best names of this year.
Yeah.
I think. A pity she's a woman because she could be up for Guy of the
Year. That's what Ahmed Best said after a year of feeling sad about.
Ahmed Best is such a good name.
Yeah. But Mia Goth.
Goth.
It would be Misa Goth, wouldn't it?
Misa Goth. Yeah. But Ahmed Best is something. That's a great name.
Yeah.
I just can't seem to get my Ahmed Best. I made that bitch famous. Yeah, that's kind of all I've been watching. And Succession.
Dude, I was waiting for you to get to. So you've seen the first episode of season 4.
Because I'm a psycho, I rewatched season 3 this week.
That's so good.
Like 9 hours or so. Mm-hmm. Because like, I normally wouldn't, but being the last season, I'm kind of bummed I didn't watch 1 to 3. because I like that would have been the ultimate rerun. But as we know with that show,
it's also 30 hours.
But things happen like in season one that only came up again in season three. Like that, you know how they don't drop stuff?
Yeah, of course.
Like the
boat
harassment. You know how that's like a plot in season one and it becomes like the driving force of season two and three. Like, and basically like nothing really new has been introduced to the show except like Gojo, that streaming service.
Yep.
Other than that, it's all stuff that's kind of still been happening within the first few seasons. So I was like, I'm going to watch three again just to like, you know, in case, because you don't know where you're going to go with Succession. Like the wildest shit happens.
I wonder if Adrian Brody's character is going to come back.
I don't think so. He was just, I think, like asshole one-off investor just to give us like a taste of like the type of dipshits.
The villain, the actual villain in John Wick 4 is a Skarsgård as well.
Bill Skarsgård, right? Skarsgård. Yeah,
who he plays a French guy. Not a convincing
really?
French accent.
He's great though.
He's still good, so weird. But it's a funny French,
He's Pennywise the clown.
It's so funny how every Skarsgård, it's like, yeah, and you can be a villain. Like,
they're so good at it. Yeah. They just have this look.
Yep.
But finished the last episode of 3 today. That amazing episode in Italy.
You could be a wacky scientist or the villain.
You can be naked in Thor the Dark World. and then started 4 straight away. And I'll tell you why, that felt fucking good. But I was only sent the first episode.
So I heard that it's a whole new title sequence for season 4. They've actually brought the song from Entourage is the opening theme.
Well, HBO,
song
you know, times are tough with the merger with Discovery and Warner Brothers. So they're having to reuse a lot of... you know, music that they bought the rights for.
the
Perry Farrell
company. The HeyFam theme song was just a loop of, oh yeah.
We were, that was
that
like,
is funny.
That is very good. Funny. Yeah, some of it's really good.
It's like 30 seconds of just, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then we would just say it for a while. And then we would say, hey fam. That's less funny.
That wasn't cool at all. Yeah. That wasn't very Sigma male grind set of us. But yeah, I'm pleased to report the Roys are back on their bullshit. This is a no spoiler zone. I mean, I can if I want embargoes lifted, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, don't I kill you?
I'd kill me too. It's just great. It's good to see them all.
Spoilers, it's great. The whole gang's back.
They're all just cunts.
Yeah.
And I mean, it ends with that amazing moment with the Tom betrayal, remember?
In season three.
Tom played that long game.
So, okay, without spoiling it, who are you rooting for in this season? Because as fucked as he is, I can't not root for Kendall.
Yeah, well,
and in a way, I don't root for Shiv. I don't root for.
You kind of want Kendall to be there because he was the guy who was done dirty in the very first
episode.
But
he's also like,
because the first episode
fucking killed a guy
of the whole series is like, he's going to be crowned the next prince. And then he withholds it. And so I guess in a way, he is our protagonist. Like,
I root for Cousin Greg.
Oh, Greg's a scumbag.
I don't know. They took him a step too far.
And it's great.
In their last season. So now I'm
like, he's trying to sue Greenpeace because they got his inheritance. And he's telling people at like events, he's like, yeah, I've actually got a beef with Greenpeace. Like, I can't go into it, but I'm actually suing them.
And
like,
I do, even though he's just, I don't know what makes him slightly not as bad to me as Elliot is. I root for Tom.
I do too.
Yeah.
Because of the way because we see how Shiv treats him.
Yeah.
Like, Shiv despises him.
Yeah.
And you can tell he, like, loves her or the idea of
her. For a while, I was rooting for Shiv, but I guess her treatment of Tom stopped me from rooting for her.
Also, in the first season, she's presented as an outsider who's, like, too intelligent to put up with this shit, and then she gets kind of sucked into it.
Yeah, and then her politics are closer to mine, you know, ever so slightly.
And she disregards it completely and just, like, goes for, you know.
Obviously... Fuck, what's the oldest?
Logan. Oh, Connor. President.
Connor, like, you know.
Presidential
candidate. I root for him to be in the series more because I find him very
funny.
He's
just a dipshit.
But from a character point of view, like...
He's evil. He's terrible. They're all morons. It's great. But
And then Kieran Culkin's fucking... What's his
Roman.
Name? Roman. For a while, it was entertaining to think that, oh shit, maybe he's going to step
then
up.
Then he sent a dick pic to his dad.
And he fucked everything
When
up.
I watched that, I was just like, that moment is insane. Yep. And he's like on top of everything. He's like... done nothing but kick goals for like the last 6 episodes and then ruins it by texting. That's like one of the best moments of that show.
Same as like one of my other favorite moments is another big Roman fuck up with the fucking spaceship exploding.
And he just looks at it and just doesn't say anything. He's like in the toilet, just watches this like entire spaceship blow up.
Is that season 2?
End of one. At the wedding, Shiv's
yes,
wedding.
Yes, of course. Oh my god, wedding's so crazy.
Wedding, and then that's when like...
Of course, the car crashes.
Yeah. which takes two seasons for him to tell the family about.
Oh, God
damn.
Dude,
it's so good. But no, I'm wanting the Roy kids to win, because remember they banded together at the end of three.
Oh, I've never ever at any point in the series rooted for Logan.
No,
I don't want him to win.
No, because even though he's like,
but I love anytime he's on screen. He has the best lines, and like it's probably my favorite performance overall.
Brian Cox is just
because he's the only character that doesn't make me cringe.
Yeah, you're scared of him.
You're just scared.
I'm like scared of him when I watch.
But I don't want him to win. No, it's such a great complex. It's so much like, you know, like the levels of depth of, like, you remember how it's like, oh. You wouldn't believe it, but Walter White crosses the line, but you still root for him.
Yeah.
And now this is like the, I feel like Succession.
There's no
is the
line. Yeah, yeah. It's just everyone's like,
it's like, why do you like this character, you psychopath? And you're like, I don't know, I can't tell you why, but I do. Like,
but yeah, it took three seasons for the Roy kids to team up. And so I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
They're still, like, you know, as far as we're aware, against Daddy. Unless, of course, there's probably some subterfuge going on, which it's Succession. So anyone's like, but it, you know, the stakes are high. This is it. It's really good to know this is the final season, because you're just like, this is it. Like, there's no more, you know, you can only do so many fake outs or unholy alliances.
Speaking of stakes being high, Stakes is High by De La Soul. Have you been listening to all the De La Soul albums now that they're on streaming?
No, but I've heard some controversies with the samples. A lot of the songs are different, apparently. People who grew up with the CDs and records.
I grew up with 3 Feet High and Rising.
A lot of samples aren't there, or they're recreated.
Right.
And so a lot of, like, heads who love the original, like, older, I was just reading a thread, they were like, here's a thread of all the changes, and, like, heaps of, a couple songs are gone.
Well, because there was no format you could buy them in.
Yeah.
Because of samples for almost a decade. So, I guess it's like what they've had to have
done. So it's with someone who's gotten used to a version. But no, I haven't.
Because Tommy Boy had some shitty dealings with everyone back in the, you know. Also,
there was no real knowledge of samples or clearance. Like, it wasn't really a thing.
But so I went through, like, I grew up with 3 Feet High and Rising. I know that album back to front. Clearly not as well as some people, because I didn't really pick any of the samples that sounded off.
Yeah, I'll get you here.
But I listened to that one with the kids. Great album, rap album to listen to with the kids, because I think only one song has swearing on it. And it's like a skit.
What is it?
It's like Prince Paul doing a voice like, I love your fucking music.
Yeah, that's fine. That's like that's a nice fuck. That's
exactly.
Like a
there's one song when they're talking about their Jimmy, and it's like, these kids don't get euphemisms yet. You're fine.
Not yet. Especially like from the 80s.
Yeah. So I always knew and
loved
that
album. We're turning too with The Death, right?
I know, yeah. Trugoy the Dove.
Some say he's the best.
I think I saw them live twice. There was an era in my life.
I saw them live. They opened for Gorillaz when I saw Gorillaz. And then they performed with Gorillaz.
Yeah, but like from like 2003 to like 2006, I guess, if a rap act or a rapper performed in Sydney, I was there. No, I was just there. Every rapper was better go see Jungle Brothers. Better go see DJ Cash Money.
Better go see like, Kid Rock.
Better go see The Roots for the 7th time this year. Oh, this came out repeatedly.
I hope they don't ever quit touring and join a Tonight Show as a house band.
It is so insane that they are
Jimmy Fallon's house band.
House band. And they got in trouble because they played like Lion Ass Bitch. It's like a really obscure soul funk song.
How'd they get in trouble? Like,
someone picked it and was like, it was like they got him because it was like a senator came on as guest, and so they played.
Oh, like as the intro music, sure.
Just the instrumental to a song.
And someone listened and was like,
bitch.
Wait a minute, this is a lion ass bitch. If we're just saying lion,
someone
like snitched. Lion King.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Like a song about, King
but
of the Jungle.
So I did 3 Feet High and Rising with the kids, loved it. Went into De La Soul Is Dead, which is them. Like the story of them is so crazy because like everyone referred to them as like the hippie rappers.
Yeah.
And then so they basically, De La Soul Is Dead is like them saying that image.
Is not.
But we don't do that shit anymore. Like, and so it's like the front cover is like a broken pot plant of flowers
that's right.
in it. And that album has way too many skits, but has so many strong songs on it. And then the third album is Balloon.
What was Pig's skit era? Do you think like 2000s? CD, like early
these guys
2000s?
Paved the way. These guys paved the way. De La Soul would pave the way. So I did pretty much just in a week, just listened to 3 Feet High and Rising. De La Soul Is Dead. Then went into Balloon Mind State, which is like they went way more jazz samples and actually got jazz musicians to come and perform
like live
and perform on the there's like saxophone solos, guitar solos on the songs. Those three albums all produced with Prince Paul, who was always like one of my, like, I guess, yeah, tying back into Gorillaz when Clint Eastwood came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I love everything to do with this. I was like fucking 15 or 16. And I just track down every possible link. So, obviously he's already a fan of Blur. Who's Del the Funky Homo Sapien rapping on that? He's in Hieroglyphics.
Dive into that.
And then you're suddenly listening to Souls of Mischief and other Bay Area rappers. And then who produced it? Dan the Automator. Well, he made Deltron 3030 with Del the Funky Homo Sapien. And Kid Koala is the turntablist on that. And before that, he made Handsome Boy Modeling School, which is his group with Prince Paul. And then Prince Paul did my first like true obsession was just tracking down the links through hip-hop production, because there was a Borders book and CD shop in Hornsby near where I worked, and so I would just go there after work and spend all my money on like expensive US import rap CDs.
Oh, that's right, so you could order stuff.
Yeah, and so they had just an amazing import section, and they did it
the Bondi one I worked at too.
Prince Paul did this hip hopera, which was called A Prince Among Thieves. You know, Avalanche's Since I Left You, there is a sample, and I need to book a flight tonight.
Yeah, I need to book a flight tonight.
That is from the De La Soul song on Prince Among Thieves.
Oh, wow. I think the song's called Flight Tonight.
Yeah. There's another really, really famous sample off De La Soul Is Dead that's been used in another massive rap song. I can't remember what it is, though.
Frankie Sinatra.
That's it. So they did the first three albums with Prince Paul. Balloon Mindset is fucking incredible.
Sick. I'll listen to that.
And their flows are so good, especially Postanus. He's the frontman, I guess, of the group. The most recognizable voice. And I guess also like the image too. He's got the glasses. He's the tall one with the fro. But then they Balloon Mindset doesn't do very well because it's like jazzier as opposed to funk. And like recognizable. Like, because they're sampling like Steely Dan and shit and Hall & Oates on that first album. This is a lot less recognizable. And then they don't work with Prince Paul again for the next album. They produce it all themselves. Jay Dilla does a beat for the title track for Stakes Is High, which I knew and I love that song. But the rest of the album is very boom bappy, which is not my shit. Like, sure. It's very serious.
Yeah.
And what's so good about De La Soul is how fun they are. Even when they're being like jazzy, it's still like fun and the flows are like a bit off kilter and like cool.
How
like
many
that.
Albums are there?
There's so many. They go so far downhill after Stakes Is High. They did two very commercially aimed albums where they just never sound right. There's a few good songs on them, though. There's a song that is in the movie Made. Hard Time Running Through the City.
Oh, Made. Yeah,
that I really like.
We keep talking about Jon Favreau tonight.
Yeah, he's
Lion King.
That motherfucker be everywhere. But yeah, man, it was crazy.
Lion ass.
Crazy listening to just nothing but De La Soul. And now I'm like going, because obviously they're in Native Tongues, which is their big posse with like Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, so you've been listening to Stakes Is High.
Well, I've been listening. I went back to Tribe Called Quest because I only ever had an album with Can I Kick It on it.
Yeah, great.
Was it People's Rhythm?
That last album was amazing.
Yeah, I like
the last album
too.
Was so good.
But like, I never properly listened to Midnight Marauders.
I haven't either,
dude. That album, fucking. I know it's like the most basic fucking rap opinion to have. It is such a fucking good album.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, and so, and now my kids are really into Gorillaz.
Hard not to be.
Especially Clint Eastwood.
They're cartoon characters. How could you not be?
And so we went back and watched all those film clips.
Yeah.
And it is so baffling that we came so close, like after 20 years or whatever, they almost made a cartoon series and then
it got cancelled this year.
That first, the Clint Eastwood film clip.
It's amazing.
In my opinion, it never gets better than that. Like, no. We watched everything.
The hat, possessing.
And when they went 3D animation, it just isn't as good. Like,
the stylo
the animation
video
is so fucking clean.
The stylo video is all time with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's plenty of great highlights in it. Yeah. I love the 19-2000 film clip.
Oh, yeah, on the roller coaster, right?
It's like a hot, weird highway.
That's right.
I even like some of the more recent songs where it's just like 2D kind of like walking around. It's like his animated form walking through California.
That's right.
That's fun. But yeah, for me, like, I feel like Clint Eastwood, the Gorillaz peaked so
hard.
It's
iconic. It's like spooky too, that video.
And like, Archie's obsessed with sampling at the moment and samples. Like, his favorite videos are like sample breakdown videos. And recently it was unearthed what Gorillaz sampled.
Yeah, it was
sampled.
That old Casio.
It's literally just a fucking
Zane Lowe
preset.
On a Casio.
Preset of on a keyboard.
Slightly sped up though, like faster, right?
Yeah,
like,
but even like the drum fills are in that
It's pretty wild. It was just all on that. Who gave it to him again? Did he say it was like a gift?
I can't remember. It's on TikTok. Yeah. Look up Gorillaz sample.
He's happy.
But yeah, we hit that. And then also off that, Archie was like, yeah, what other film clips are cool, Dad? So we watched a bunch of Spike Jonze ones. And then I was like, fuck, you know what he's
What's my
love.
Age again? Naked Blink-182.
What's a band who have dog shit songs but fucking amazing film clips? Like, they're known for their film clips and not their music. The band's OK Go.
I was about to say OK Go. And so I was thinking of that, like, treadmill thing or whatever.
So they did the treadmill one thing, but then they did, they really like latched onto.
Goldberg machine.
Yeah, it's like all these one take film clips. Yeah. And like, pretty awesome, especially when you're like showing them to a kid. They're like,
sure. I've never seen them.
But their music is the most forgettable. Yeah. It's not even like dog. It's like,
it's just like fake it's music.
Exactly.
It just feels like, yeah.
Yeah.
Weezer,
like AI made
did you show
it.
Them some Weezer, early of course. Weezer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. What about, the Josie video? That's a classic.
Yeah, that is a classic.
I guess I need to get the teen genre movie, yeah. Teen movie genre first.
He does love Blink, so that's a good idea.
Yeah, I can show the Blink ones are great.
Yeah, anyway, that was too much music talk for some of our listeners. So, yeah. Look, the main topic that I want to talk about on PayFan tonight is and we'll get to it very soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, I just want to seed it now and get the discussion points out
okay,
there.
Okay, okay.
I think, and I've been saying for years, you've been saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I've been saying, no way is it ever going to happen. Not because I want it to be around forever, but, like, I just could never see a world without a constant...
Canberra episode?
No, Canberra episode. Superhero movies.
Oh.
You were like,
it's
dead. This is the beginning of the end.
I called it, I said after Endgame, it's going to happen. I was like, this is going to happen now.
And I fully believe you now. I think like the fact that Shazam 2 is
figures.
Just like,
look
yeah,
at
flopping so
general
hard
interest. And, it's like everywhere.
And everyone, and like not only that.
Layman, when laymen are talking about it?
Yeah,
people that aren't white and have podcasts, that's when you know it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The just like, I feel like people like are actively, it's not just film people that are like want to hate these movies.
It's everybody.
Everyone's just so proud.
That's what I mean. Laymen are just
to lay
like,
into
yeah.
them now. It's crazy.
Dude, I was speaking about, Lexi and I basically exclusively have been talking about it for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, there's this like amazing, it's that Charlie from Always Sunny and it's me. And it's like the... with all the red thing, and it's like a picture of like Zack Snyder,
mm-hmm.
The Rock, The Last Jedi, Gamergate. It's just all these things, and it's like it's all together. It's all one big thing.
And what's crazy
Batman
is that
versus
like,
Superman.
It was always about pitting all of the different fan bases against each other, but now it's like, oh, actually, they all suck.
Yeah, 100%.
They're all the fucking worst, and
it's just
we would be richer if they had a long break and came back good again, but.
It's, yeah, I can't wait to talk about it in the next episode with you.
Because John Wick really cemented it. John Wick is like...
I told you, man, we had that Top Gun, that, and now we're getting these movies post-COVID. We're being reminded that like, oh yeah, this is what like... I mean, John Wick's not standalone, but compared to fucking...
Well, I mean, it is in that it's just the four movies.
Yeah, exactly. It's essentially standalone. But it's
and like, you know, if...
And you know what? It's stunts. It's people.
Exactly. It's
people
not, it's
doing...
Like,
I mean, these people obviously aren't getting shot with bullets.
It's digital blood spurting out from people's
heads. But there's
heads,
an art form to it. It's
yeah.
like someone who's choreographed.
The choreography
yeah.
is
They're
so
not
good.
Just getting like... You compare that, and I obviously haven't seen it, but you can. What I have seen is the third act of Ant-Man and the Wasp in Quantumania. And like
your favorite film moment of the year,
you just don't know what's going on in that third. Like the pre-visual. Remember how we learned that like previs before the director generally gets hired, and they're just like, "Here's your final act." Like just the unimaginativeness yeah. of these massive things moving around versus like John Wick, which is also like an extreme genre movie, but made with a care and respect for you know a craft that's you shouldn't be something that is still like. It shouldn't be something that's rare in action movies.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It is now. It's becoming so rare. One thing I have to ask, and I know I said no spoilers for John Wick, but does anyone wear any nano masks that when they need to talk, they mysteriously peel back and then come back?
Yeah, John Wick is bald, but then he presses the button and then his
get
hair,
a beard
his hair
and stuff.
Grows back in his beard. Yeah.
Do you reckon like
actually,
part
there
of
were so many, I was very tired today, and there were so many moments where like John Wick wasn't in it for a while, and then he would appear in the background, and I'd be like, oh, Snape. Oh, wait, no, it's John Wick.
Snape, look out!
It's Snape.
Harry, you're going to get caught. 10 points from Gryffindor. It'd be funny with James Gunn, like Warner Brothers, like, look, you got to do the nano suits, dude. And he's like Superman. He's just like dicks.
Now, I was thinking about like, yeah, like John Wick never fully jumps the shark. And that's what makes it like.
But when it skirts that edge, it's some of the best things
exactly.
you've ever seen.
But it doesn't do like what the... Hobbs and Shaw did where it gave what's his name superpowers pretty much
everybody even Ryan Reynolds had superpowers essentially
no but like what's his name what's the the villain
Idris Elba
yeah his character is like
I'm a black Superman
yeah exactly yeah,
yeah
yeah it's shocking
that movie just feels so disconnected from the Fast movie, movies bro. Yeah I didn't love it but I didn't hate it
but I want yeah
Just because the only reason why I'm like kind towards that movie is because of the amazing part at the climax at the end when they're like, wait a minute, if we work together and put aside our differences, we might just be able to take this guy down. Which is like the fucking MO, the trailer, the tagline of this movie. It takes them like 2 hours to say the pitch.
The cameos in that movie are so weird too.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Hart and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and then
and then they did a DC where they like tease something that's never going to get resolved.
Rob Delaney, I think, is another cameo.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I'm fucking pumped for Fast 10, though.
Oh, dude, it's going to be obscenely good. Momoa is just the perfect...
That's who I'm most excited
same.
For.
When he looks absurd escape. In it. He looks like one of those like LA like Jack Sparrows. And some of them just like a guy who's like... slightly been smoking ice the night before and is like dressed up as Jack Sparrow trying to like, you know, we've got to give him $5 to get a photo with like a bootleg pirate.
Yeah.
Because he's got these like weird, it looks amazing.
But yeah, so that's what I want to talk about on PayFam tonight. Of course we do PayFam.
Dude,
as soon
you know,
as
it's
we
my
finish
pleasure
AFAM.
To talk about that.
Yeah, I just like, I feel like it finally like...
It clicked for you. Welcome to the resistance, brother.
La resistance. Birds of... Sorry, what's it called? I keep thinking it's called Birds of Prey, even though it's called Shazam 2. What's it called? Shazam 2, Birds of Prey.
Shazam 2, Joker 2.
Yeah. But we didn't see... that felt like so freeing to me, not seeing
it's
Shazam 2.
It's like an abusive 2. Relationship.
Even though like I'm sure it's nowhere near as bad as some of the other shit I've seen, I just can't see these movies that make me feel nothing anymore.
Well, especially when we know they're about to fucking axe this one.
Well, I don't care about that for whatever. Like a good movie.
No, but I mean, like, even
if anything,
now
that
like,
makes me like...
Say you have like 72 days to live. You're going to spend one of those days watching a movie that we've been told like has no effect.
But you know how my brain works. Like, for instance, yesterday I was exhausted. I got home after my gig at about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I knew I'd have to get up at 7 a.m. for the kids. But I thought, wait, hold on a second. The eShop is about to close.
I better
in 5 days. I'm going to go fire up my Wii U and check which Bomberman games are on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are four and I bought all four
good,
of them. Will I ever play them?
No,
I
of course
think
not.
So,
and you'll be able to emulate them easily, but it doesn't matter because now you...
So yeah, I went to bed at 3 instead of 2 last night.
I have zero respect for that behavior.
It's what makes me, baby.
I know, I feel for you. No, I have those.
But like, that's like, if anything, like if...
I
like,
have the same
if Shazam 2 was secretly good... And the universe ended, then I'd be championing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, people talk a lot of shit about the DC universe.
At least
universe,
it went out on a high with
exactly,
this guy.
Yeah. People, what a lot of people don't know about is that this movie is
actually good. But you
haven't
had to be doing that because all of the cast have.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everyone
involved
in that
control.
Movie is just like, I actually, the movie's actually good. Like, I've never seen, like, what a fucking sick world we're living in at the moment in this, like, 24-hour, you know, media cycle, and like last week.
Don't listen to the critics. Listen to the actors who were in the movie.
Yeah, who were paid to read. Like, it's just sickening.
But yeah, so we didn't see the movie, but I want to give a quick shout out to a podcast that did see Shazam 2, and they are one of them. One of the hosts is
Smodcast.
That's right, Kevin Smith's Smodcast. No, it's a podcast called Watch Your Watching. And it's been started by one of our listeners,
Alexis,
who goes by the alias of Trashwire. It's a hard one to find because there's about 10 podcasts called What You're Watching. But if you look up Trashwire and What You're Watching, you'll be able to find it. It's a really good podcast. There's like 4 episodes up
so
far.
Yeah, I watched that first app.
They did like the most recent one is like an Oscars recap with a review of John Wick 4, Shazam 2. And Alexis has a little bit of Levin's brain going on in that she saw RRR. And then has seen, I think she like officially has seen since RRR came out, her 100th Telugu movie.
Yeah, that rules.
And just like a Telugu series hit Netflix last week and she watched all of the episodes without getting up.
100
just,
Telugu films, that's probably like what they release in a week, right? Yeah. It's such a like prolific like.
Yeah, no, also those fucking movies like 3 hours long too.
Hell yeah.
That's a lot of fun intermission breaks though. But
yeah,
anyway,
you can piss.
Check out What You're Watching. It's a very good film podcast.
So they watched...
only one. Fury. Alexis didn't. Alexis, I think, is on the same wavelength as us. Just, fuck these movies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They just needed to take a big old break.
And we're going to be talking all about it in PayFam tonight. If you want to hear it, patreon.com.
I think COVID
/AFAM.
Had a lot to do with its like lingering around.
Well, everyone was ready to forgive, but we'll get to that. Hold these thoughts. I've got so many thoughts. Also, want to break down that Ben Affleck interview that came out this week.
Yeah, it was great. Was it Hollywood Reporter or Variety or something?
One of those guys.
Actually, I've been invited to his new film, so do you want to come?
Argo 2.
Yeah, this time we're Argo and...
This time he's Greek. This time he's just Spanish. And,
yeah. He's my favorite Spanish actor, Latino. Yeah, Boston actor Ben Affleck. Hey, I'm Boston Catholic actor Ben Affleck. That's how I introduced Mark Wahlberg in the meeting.
That's good stuff.
I'm Hollywood Catholic.
I know Matt Damon's acted alongside Marky Mark, but has Ben, Big Ben, was he in Ted 2?
No.
Damn. I reckon Mark Wahlberg would have a field day in a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, you could see him playing like an FBI agent trying to track down Jay and Silent Bob.
Could call Silent Bob a fat fuck. Like,
Hey, listen here, Lard. Like, Lard ass. Hey, Lard ass, you need to go to F-45. Do some of these moves with me. Come on.
Mark Wahlberg telling Jay to stay prayed up.
I think they'd get on well. They're both Catholic heads.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith.
Wait, is he? He's not Catholic, is he?
Kevin Smith's given up dogma. Weed. I know. Man, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith. I need to get to the bottom of it.
Kevin Smith gave up his personality.
Well, he gave up, like, what's so interesting? Like, hit stop. Let's talk about this shit for free.
Come listen to us. Patreon.com/HeyFam. It's going to be an absolute stanker tonight. I can't wait. And I mean stanking in a good way.
Yeah.
$5 a month is all it costs to get a bonus episode of Hey Fam every single week. And we have some very special ones coming up soon. While I'm in Japan. We'll tell you all about it next week. Yeah. But in the meantime, go to patreon.com/HeyFam. And
just hit stop.
Bam, 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 bam. ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.